Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Brother Glenn, Sister April, Brock, I believe you put this video together. Sister Sissy, you all did an amazing job. I'm truly thankful. To all of our guests, we're happy to have you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. I have a friend of mine who's here. He has a great ministry in Sulphur. It's Brother Sean. Brother Sean, we're glad to have you here. He's a fine gentleman, and glad that Sean is here. Let's just reach out and touch the Lord right now. Father, we love you. We love you. Your presence is in this room. And we just don't want to be hasty, Lord. We want to be sensitive to you, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for where you're leading us. Jesus' mighty name. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. I would like for you to look at verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The NIV says there is freedom. I'm going to just talk from my heart tonight. I'm going to do my best not to hold you long, but the Spirit of the Lord is here, and we want to follow that. We want to be sensitive to that. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. One of my friends and I, we went to a conference. I believe it was last week in Dallas. And this conference that we went to, we're not a part of their organization. We don't fly their flag. But I was invited by my friend to go, and so I said, yes, I'll go with you. And gave me an opportunity to sit down and after the conference was over and be with my pastor in Dallas. I wanted to visit with him and be with him, so I said to my friend, yes, I'll go. So we went. And when we pulled into the driveway of this church, there were all kinds of young people holding signs that said, welcome, happy to have you here. And those young people, not exaggerating any of this, I would not lie to you or exaggerate, they were clapping and they were shouting. We had our windows rolled up, but we could hear them. They were shouting, welcome. We're so happy to have you here. I thought, well, that's cool. So I get out of the vehicle, and my friend and I and his assistant, and we walk up to the church, and probably no less than 8 to 10 people were there, and they were clapping and whistling. And like, so happy that you're here. Thank you for being here. It's great to have you. And so we walked through the glass doors, and then in this massive foyer, there was another group of people, and they were welcoming us. And so we went in, and we sat in the bleachers, and we stood. Again, I'm not exaggerating. We stood between 35 and 40 minutes, and we sang. We sang, and I watched. I have some videos of this. And as we sang probably 98% of 5,000 people that were at this conference had their hands raised, and the entire congregation with their hands raised were singing for 40 to 45 minutes of nothing but pure singing, worship. It was beautiful. My spirit longs for the joy of the Lord. I don't want to do anything to hurt you. But sometimes I come to church and I wonder, where is the joy of the Lord amongst God's people? I'm not here to compare you to anyone else. I'm just simply telling you an experience that I had and an observation that I had. And for years, brothers and sisters, for years I have heard, we have the truth. We have it. We have it. We have it. And I don't doubt that God has given us revelation. But with that, much is given. Much is required. And my question to not just this beautiful congregation, but my question to the church at large is this: if we have everything we say we have, then where is the joy of the Lord? Where is the joy of the Lord? Because when there is joy, there is freedom. You say, why can't we be joyful? I'm gonna actually preach on this here shortly, but we can be joyful. What we're buying into this mentality that God needs to make everything perfect before we're joyful. He needs to meet all of our needs and do everything that we want him to do when we want him to do it. Brothers and sisters, may I remind you that we live in a fallen world. And this is called earth. And nothing's going to always work out right. Nothing's going to always go exactly as you want it to go. That's a place called heaven. This is a place called earth. But my spirit longs for the joy of the Lord to be among God's people. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. I could give you probably at the minimum of 4 to 5 verses that talk about the joy of the Lord. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. We can be joyful, brothers and sisters, for this one reason, is because we have been forgiven. We have all been forgiven by the precious blood of the Lamb. And if you don't have anything else to be joyful about, remember the night or the day that God brought you out of the gutter and he brought you to the cross and he forgave you and I of all of our sins. God has completely forgiven us. And that is a reason for joy. Romans 8:1 says this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. The number one reason people lose their joy is guilt. You cannot be happy and guilty at the same time. You cannot be joyful and living in regret at the same time. Of course, none of us in this room, myself included, are perfect. We've all made mistakes. We all have legitimate reasons to feel regrets, to feel guilty, and maybe even to feel shame. The results, though, of most people, they live their life in self-condemnation. That's why they're not joyful. We're going around saying, I should be better. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I must do this. And God doesn't want you doing that. So he says, come to me and receive my forgiveness, because there is no condemnation in Christ. Does God ever want us to feel guilty? Yes, long enough to come to the cross and confess our sins.
But after that, he wants us to get up and realize that it's not what we've done, but it's what he's done for us. So religion leads to a belief that whatever you do is never good enough. A root of religion says, I'm not enough. The wonderful truth about having a relationship with God is that it's not about who you are, and it's not about what you've done. It's about who he is and what he's done. I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. This is in the New King James Version. I knew I couldn't go to any other version because probably some of you may not believe me. So I wanted to make sure I'm in the New King James. Here it is. You ready? By that will, we have been sanctified. If you've done a little bit of study, the word sanctified means to be holy. Sanctified means to be set apart, to be holy. So in another version, it says this, that we have been holy or made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So now stay with me. What we do in our dress makes us modest. What Jesus did on the cross is what makes us holy. Can I say that again? Okay, again, I would never say anything to be hurtful, but I must address this because this goes way back in our history. We have been taught that long sleeves makes me holy. Brothers and sisters, if long sleeves makes you holy, then never take your jacket off. Don't take it off to get a shower. Don't take it off to get in your bed. Because if long sleeves is what makes you holy, what if you take your jacket off and Jesus comes? What happens when you're having to wash your body and Jesus comes? Left behind forever and ever with no hope for eternity. Some of y'all don't know, but that's an old song. See, this makes me modest. The blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus is what makes me holy. I can't be holy in myself. See, what we've taught, we didn't mean it, but what we taught is that it was what Jesus did plus what I do. What Jesus did plus what I do. I understand that train of thought. Yes, we have a part in what we should do, but when it comes to strictly salvation, it's not about what you do, it's about what he did. Now, my part is to live my life so that others can see Christ in me, and that means that I do separate myself from sin and that I do clothe my temple in a modest way. But if I'm not careful, what I can do is look at the sleeves as my salvation. Again, I'm not trying to be hurtful, but what we have done in our past is elevate standards to salvation. And standards, brothers and sisters, are not salvation. Salvation comes from the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It does not come from how long my sleeves are. Well, I was afraid I was going to lose some of you. See, here is a way to know if you have religion or relationship. Do you love people that are different from you? Religion loves for people to be the same. Religion demands conformity. And if you don't conform, 9 times out of 10, they condemn you. Religion focuses on the 3% that we don't agree on, and it makes a big deal out of the 3%, and we totally forget the 97% that we do agree on. This is a wonderful man of God. I call him prophet because that's what he is. Brother Rex Bryant. Do I totally agree with him? No. Does he totally agree with me? No. But we don't look at the 3% we don't agree on. We look at the 97% that we do agree on. And that's how we go forward and have relationships. But brothers and sisters, we have been so religious if they didn't look like us, be white like us, spit white like us, then we said, no, thank you. That's religion. Religion wants conformity. You need to be like me, act like me, walk like me. Religion, brothers and sisters, listen to me. Religion can be cruel. I don't know how God is going to do all of this, but I'm going to tell you, there are going to be some pastors and some men of God that are going to have to answer for some things because of their attitude, because they were lording over God's heritage. Instead of feeding the flock and leading the flock, they were demanding that the flock do certain things. And I'm here to tell you that your Heavenly Father will not make you do anything. You do it because you're in relationship with God, because you love God and you love the body of Christ and you love His name and His word, and you love who He is. Can I keep preaching? Thank you. I want you to look at Revelation. I don't have a clock back there, and I really need y'all to change that so I can have a clock. Revelation, please, 7 and 9. Here it says, after these things, after what things? Not going to get into this, but he's talking about after the 144,000 are saved. Okay? That's what he's referring to. After the 144,000 Jews are saved, he says this, lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Is that in y'all's Bible? Which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, white is a sign of purity, and palms in their hands, that's a sign of victory. Verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God. Religion says that only a few are going to be saved. Only a few are going to be saved. According to this verse, people are going to be saved. This is not the 144,000 Jews. People are going to be saved out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. And I know for a fact that the UPC is not in every kindred, tongue, nation, and tribe. So, brothers and sisters, how are they going to be saved? Because the bottom line is, we grew up thinking nobody's going to be saved but us. That's religion. And I'm here to tell you that you're going to get into heaven. You're going to have to be born again, but you may not fly this flag. You may not even look exactly like us. But I'm going to tell you this. There's going to be people that are going to be saved out of every nation, tribe, and kindred, and tongue. It's going to be beautiful because God loves diversity. See, religion is about being right. It loves to try to prove people wrong. I've got friends that debate. I'm not going to debate, okay? I'm fine with that. I don't think they're not saved because of it. I'm just not going to debate people. Why? Because here's what I found out. I can't win people I'm fighting. You don't win people you're fighting. You win people you're loving. So I don't get into debates with anyone. Here, this is going to blow y'all's mind, but here's who I am. I have people come and they tell me I'm saved. And I say, I don't look at them and say, no, you're not. I don't have to deconstruct their relationship with God. All I say is, hey, have you maybe thought about this? Hey, are you open to this? But I'm not going to tear down, brothers and sisters, their relationship with God because it doesn't look exactly like mine. You just love people, brothers and sisters. If you get into a debate with them, all they're going to do is shut you down and think you're a religious fanatic. Is that all right? See, here's what religion says. Religion says all of us are going up in the sky while the rest of you suckers go down and fry. You say, oh, Pastor, you're being harsh. Okay, really? Let's look at a scripture then. Luke chapter 9, verse 52. You think I'm joking? I'm not. And sent messengers before his face, and they went. This is talking about the Lord's disciples, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Verse 53. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Verse 55, check out Jesus' response. But he turned and did what? And said to them, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. God is saying to his disciples, boys, listen. We're under a call for grace from heaven, not fire. We're not under the dispensation of bondage and terror and death. We are under a time of love and liberty and grace. For the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves people. God died for people. And unfortunately, it seems like the religious world and preachers dislike people. I've had people tell me, oh, Pastor, I want you to know, I like that hard preaching. I like it hard. I understand where they're coming from. But this generation that has grown up feels like that they've lived in hell. They feel like they've lived in hell. My daddy told me, he said, Wayne, most of what is happening now is not kids being raised up, they're being jerked up. And see, you had the privilege of having two parents in your house. Many of you did. How many was raised in the Hope House and in Celebrate Recovery? How many just had one parent in your house? There is a group and a generation of people, brothers and sisters, that do not know what you know. Can I keep preaching? Kaylee, I need your help tonight. Would you get Huxley for me? Get Ella. Sarah, would you come up? Sister June, would you come up? What's up? Y'all, this man loves the drums. I told him, I said, you look like a saved rock star, buddy. Now, this is going to sound very simplistic, but please stay with me. Here's what religion wants. Religion wants this one, this one, this one, and this one to all be the same. Even though he's this age, she's that age, she's here, and she's here. Religion says y'all all conform, and y'all all be the same, and you all look like a certain way. That's religion. Here's what relationship does. Now turn, if you would, and face that way. Turn, if you would. Come over here, Sarah. Come over here. Here's what relationship does. As your pastor, I'm not saying that you all conform to something. I'm saying you all are in relationship with the Lord. And what I want to do as your pastor is I want to keep pushing you to getting closer to him. Yeah. for me to want Sarah to be at Sister June's maturity is just foolishness. She hasn't been walking with the Lord as long as Sister June has. Now, it's amazing to me, we can understand it in the physical world, but we don't get it in the spiritual world. We want to take someone from CR that just got a relationship with the Lord a week ago, and we want this young man to be here where this lady is at. See, can I preach tonight? See, we're okay, brothers and sisters, with dead man's sins. Oh, it's going to get quiet. See, we're okay with Abraham lying because he's dead. Right? We're okay with Jacob scheming and deceiving and ripping his brother off because he's gone. We're all right with Moses murdering a man. We're all right with David committing adultery and being an accessory to murder. We're okay with Paul being a terrorist and killing Christians because all those guys are dead. So we're okay with dead men's sins. We're just not okay with the living. Because what we want is we want this little fella overnight to get to this maturity. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I expect for Sister June to live at a certain level because she is a mature lady in Christ. I don't ever want her to change her convictions and who she is. We love her just the way she is. But I'm going to tell you something about this lady. I see her hugging on all the Hope House guys. I see her loving on people. Giving people a chance to grow and to mature in Christ. Religion says, no, you can't do that. Look this way, be this way, do that. And relationship says, you know what? I just want to make sure you're still walking, still getting closer to the Lord. Here's the key, brothers and sisters. You got to ask yourself, does anything in my life mean more to me than what Jesus does? Hey, God, if I'm wearing something that you don't want me to wear, then show me, convict me. If I'm watching something that I shouldn't be watching, then God, convict me. If I'm listening to something that I shouldn't be listening to, then God, convict me. But it's about me growing in my relationship with God. There are some things, brothers and sisters, that I could even do 15 years ago that I can't do right now. Why? Because God expects a certain level of maturity out of me. Does that make sense? Would you give them a big hand? It's a good-looking group. Thank you. See, anger and arrogance demands that people believe and look and behave the same way. But say this with me. Repeat after me. Say, God loves diversity. Just look at all of us. There are now 7.7 billion people in the world, and no one has the exact same fingerprint. I want you to listen to this. There are 250 different species of plants. 250,000. Pardon me. 250,000 different species of plants. 12,000 species of round worms. 4,000 species of mammals. And there are over 350,000 species of beetles, with yet many more to be discovered. And yet religion says, look like me and act like me. And the word says this, that before the throne, they're going to be of every nation, every tribe, every kindred, and every tongue. And it blows my mind how we think that all the people that are going to be saved are white folks. That hit a nerve, didn't it? I know where we are. I know we're in Southwest Louisiana. But I want to tell you something. If you make heaven, the good news is you're not going to find prejudice there. You're not going to find it. See, religion tries to get everybody to a destination. Everybody's got to get here. Now listen to me. We all want to make heaven. Yes, the ultimate destination we want to make is heaven, but I'm not talking about that. I'm no longer trying to get people to a destination. I want to just keep walking in relationship with God. Here's the question that I want you to ask yourself. Does anything mean more to me than my relationship with Jesus Christ? Here's what the scripture says. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. I literally don't want anything in the way of my relationship with the Lord. Has that made sense? Okay. Here's what religion does, and I'll stop because I don't want to go much longer. Religion says, what am I going to get out of this? In other words, who's going to serve me? Who's going to meet my needs? When going to church is all about your preferences, it becomes religion. Relationship says, is what I'm doing pleasing God? Is what I'm wearing pleasing Him? Is what I'm listening to? Is what I'm watching? Is all of that pleasing God? Relationship says this, what can I give and how can I serve? And religion focuses on condemnation. Notice what the Pharisees did when they brought the lady caught in the act of adultery. What did they do? They said, Lord, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Now, what are you going to do about it? Here's what religion does. It focuses on condemnation and pointing out your faults. Notice what relationship does. He didn't let her off the hook. He didn't say, okay, I'm okay, you're okay, it's okay. Mm-mm. He looked at her and said, listen, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Because when you're in relationship with the Lord, and you're really there, things start changing in your life. The old things pass away and the new things begin. You start getting into a relationship with the Lord. Pastor, why are you preaching like this? Here's why. Because the revival is not coming to the Leave It to Beaver families. Because there's very few Leave It to Beaver families left. Revival is coming to those who are hurting, have hang-ups, habits, hurts, been jerked up. And this is what Jesus says. All you who are weary, come, and I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Religion is hard. Religion is hard, brothers and sisters. Relationship is a wonderful thing. You know what? There's nothing that brings me no greater joy than when I'm with my sweet wife, having fun, laughing, cutting up, playing cards, being with Trey and Molly, reminiscing about good times and laughing about brand new times that we're making together. There's nothing that brings me greater joy than in being in relationship with them. And here's what I'm wondering, church. Where is the joy of the Lord? Because the joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. And my heart the other night, my heart's been heavy because we claim to have so much and yet have so little joy. We claim to have so much, and yet we have so little peace. We claim to have so much, and yet so little love for the lost world that don't look like us. Here's what religion says. Well, my Lord, if we keep on, Hope House people are going to take over that center section. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't that be great? Let's stand together. I feel like that we need to come tonight to the front. I feel like all of us, all of you that can, all of you that will, I feel like we need to come to the front. If we get a hold of this, there can be something that can happen. Amen. That can change the face of this church. Because brothers and sisters, there's so many people that feel like they've lived in hell when they come to church. They don't want to hear again, "You're going to hell." I do believe in a hell. I just don't want to go there. I do believe in a hell. That's not good news. The good news is that Jesus came so that we wouldn't have to go there. That's the good news. I don't want you to let down on your personal convictions. I don't want you to do that. Sister June, come here again. Come here, babe. Y'all just have to bear with me. Y'all got to stay with me. I want Sister June to always be Sister June.
That's right.
And I want my wife to always be who she is. Y'all, when y'all didn't know our name and we were up in Columbia, Maryland, and no one was around us, literally no one, we didn't change anything. We just stayed who we were. What we do, we don't do it it's not grievous to us. We do what we do because we love God. What is so grievous to you that you don't want to bear that? Then take that up with the Lord. But let's all find the joy of the Lord, because what the world is looking for is the joy and love and peace. And we are the hope of the world. If they can't find it here, where are they going to find it? I've never asked Sister June or my wife to change. I don't want them to change. All I'm asking them to do is love Sister New Nancy. That maybe is not where they are. Because here's what I know. We all got to keep walking to get closer to Him. None of us have arrived. And any time you arrive, now you start slipping in religion because you think it's about what you do instead of what He's done. Let's repent. I'm serious. Let's all repent tonight. Sissy said it. I didn't grow up in drugs or alcohol, but I had judgmentalism. I had things in my heart. I'm asking you tonight, if you're a believer, would you lift up your hands tonight if you love God and you're a believer? And can we call on the Lord right now? Come on, can you open your mouth, TPC, and call on the Lord and ask God, "God, if there's something in my heart, Lord, that's more important than You, then show me, God. If I've got things in my life, Lord, that are more important than You, show me. If I'm listening to something, wearing something, Lord, not wearing something, Lord, if I'm watching something, if I'm doing something that would hinder my relationship with You, would You show me, God? Lord, I want to love people, Lord. I want to love like You love, God. I want to love people. I want to love people. I want the joy of the Lord to be restored in the name of Jesus. Something needs to happen in this service right now. Something needs to break in this service right now. We need to, here's what I want us to do. I just got direction. Here it is. You ready? Here's what we're going to do. I want you to pray for that neighbor. And here's how I want you to pray. God, let the chains of religion fall off of me. And let me fall in love with you. So that it doesn't matter. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in your sight. Every soul is valuable because they're going to spend somewhere in eternity. Would you turn to somebody, if it doesn't freak you out, make you feel awkward, would you turn to somebody and say, God, let the chains of religion and condemnation and judgmentalism fall in my life.
Pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.